Today we're going to do the 23rd Psalm. Not everybody's really aware of the beauty within this psalm. And it's my intention today to bring out some of that beauty. It's a beauty that we see also in the Hebrew language. Because unless we understand the language and the transliteration that comes over from the Hebrew into the English, we don't see the beauty of this psalm. So let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now this is the traditional English version of the 23rd Psalm, and we must know it parrot fashion. But do we really know it? I am now going to recite it in Hebrew and make the comment about it and see if we do really know it. My Hebrew is not brilliant, I have to say, but here we go. Nafshei yashoveh yankonei veng maglezdek iman shmo. Mizmor la David Yahweh roi lo eksa. Binot desh yakabzin almach nokot yalhanini. Gal kelek baget sal matvet lorar ra kiata imadi shivka. Omission tek hamar yanake homani. Tarok lafani shakunan neged zora dishanta. Vishmen roshei koshi ra'aya achtov vakaneset yafuni kolimi kavi ya shafti bene Yahweh lorek yamim. This translates into this: a song of David. This is the literal Hebrew transliteration. Literally word for word. Not every word comes over as clear as it would. But here we go. A song of David. Yahweh tends to lead me. Three words in God's name. YHVH, which is what we know as the Tetragrammaton. And this stands for Hayah, which is past. Horah, which is present. And Yiyah, which is future. And this tells us a lot about Jesus. Who is second person of the Trinity, and he is the same today, forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. So that's the past, the present, and the future. And it tells us everything that we need to know about Jesus. As Jesus said himself, he who knows me knows the Father. If you see in the Father, you see in me. These are the things. Right, we move on to the next part. He feeds and caresses me with his hands. He guards and protects me from harm. He rules over me. He looks after me with pleasure and is ever face to face with me. He leads me to virtue. He teaches and fills me with wisdom. There is nothing I will ever need. In pastures green and covered with tender herbs, he makes me lie down and rest beside the still water he leads me. My very presence, essence, he restores, renews and restores and leads me into all that is righteous, because he is righteous. Even though I live my life in the valley of thick darkness and the shadow of death, I will not live in fear or tremble at any aspect of evil, because you and I are bound together in one relationship. The rod you use to protect me and the staff cause my heart to flutter with joy. You arrange and put before my eyes a wide open space to dwell in, the sight of my enemies, who are forced to cower and in fear in the darkness. You refresh my head with goodness and strength and freedom, and my cup overflows with abundance. But there can be no doubt that goodness and your abundant burning passion and love will pursue me all the days that I live, and will restore in me in the house of Yahweh forever. Now that's the deepest literal meaning transliteration that you can bring out of that psalm. And this psalm is not meant to engage its readers in escapism, nor in complacency. It's contentment in the midst of chaos. It's peace in the midst of deepest darkness. For it ushers the reader into the midst of the Lord himself. He alone is our strength and shield. He is our hiding place. And this psalm shows us where we belong, who are part of his flock. Now the psalmist uses the greatest metaphor he could ever use, that of a shepherd. A shepherd in the Middle East lives with his sheep night and day. He is guide, he is physician, he is protector, rolled into one. But when we read about a shepherd, we tend to think of the lovely rolling pastures in England's green and pleasant land, with the sheep all sitting around, munching grass, grazing on the hillside. Friends, this couldn't be further from the truth, as the sheep in question are in the wilderness of the Judean hills and the wadis, which are the valleys that run down in between the hills. And the shepherd has to protect them sometimes at the risk of even his own life, against bears, against snakes, against wolves, against scorpions, against lions, in a howling mad wilderness where the weather is just as wild as the wilderness itself. And the shepherd has to know just where to get water for his sheep, as well as keeping them safe when it rains. Why when it rains? Well, as the wadis gush with water, they fill up in the rainy season, and they take out the roads. Even if you're in a Land Rover or something, or a car going along these roads, when a storm breaks out, you can end up with your car being washed off the road, because such is the speed this water comes down the sides of these hills and fills the valley and then washes the road out completely. So it is important. And so he has to look after these sheep, and he has to just know how to look after them, including the sheep if they are exposed to these elements, like cars, like everything else that's on these roads today. They will be suffered as casualties. And at night, the shepherd has to use his wits to build what is known as a circle of righteousness, as it is called. That is, He keeps a little container full of oil on his belt. And he keeps this little container of oil on his belt. And he makes an impression in the sand in the shape of a circle after he's bedded the sheep down in a position. He goes round with his staff and he makes a big imprint in the sand all the way around them, approximately 3 to 4 feet away in circumference. And then he pours his oil all the way round the little indentation he's made in the sand. And then he sets fire to it. And it's a circle of fire. Now what does he do that for? Well, it makes sense when you understand. At night, with a fire lit in the midst of them to keep them warm, they obviously attract the insect life, snakes, scorpions, all these things which can attack them as they sleep. But the circle, which is known as the circle of righteousness, protects them. And as it protects them, it prevents the wildlife, the insect life, from getting into the sheep and while they sleep and biting them, snakes and things like that. It keeps them out. And this is wonderful in its metaphor, because it shows us exactly how this circle of righteousness is carried on down right through Scripture. That Jesus has made for us, God by the power of his Holy Spirit has created a circle of righteousness that we can live in as his flock. And as such, he makes it more than possible for us to succeed. Why? Because we're being looked after by the shepherd. He is the great shepherd of the sheep who causes us to sit in his righteousness. Now, apart from the container on his belt, which keeps them safe from the scorpions and the snakes that are attracted by the fire towards the circle at night, the psalmist continues to indulge himself in nostalgia as he remembers his days as a shepherd. He would have sat down with the sheep, and in the comfort of this circle, he would have sang to the sheep to comfort them. Remember, David was skilled on the harp, the lyre, and he would have played it and sang psalms or whatever to these sheep to comfort them. They knew his voice. Remember, Jesus was the great shepherd. He said, "My sheep know my voice. They will not go to another." And so he, as the great shepherd of the sheep, would have sang, comforted them. "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the text says in the psalm. You see, that is a description of the earth, or David's earth especially, probably more so today than it was at David's day. We are in the valley of the shadow of death, because death awaits every one of us. This is even more true today than it was then, as we never know when we go out. What will happen to us, be it on a train, an aeroplane, or even our car, whether we will return home again in one piece? In a valley, you walk lower than the natural level of the land. And so do we. When we're in this valley of the shadow of death, which is a spiritual valley, we walk through this, death is all around us, we're in the valley of it, but it's not hurting us as yet. Why? Because we are protected. Is this a bad thing? Not at all. It causes us to lean harder on the Lord, who is our protection. He is our shepherd. And we become skilled at living down here, wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And it's necessary. Why? Because we can teach those who follow behind, the next generation, that's if they care to listen. This way, the church goes on and on throughout the generations. Now then, next text. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This word rod, which is shebet in Hebrew, means stick or staff, with which one rules, like a mace or a scepter that a king would have. Other words that can be used, these are other words that can be used, but it refers to one who uses his trusty staff to keep order or authority. And the next verse gives us more to go on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, it says. So we see a verbal picture here of the Lord having used his staff to bring order, then set out a meal in the enemy's camp, while the enemy looks on totally frustrated, with nothing that they can do. Isn't this everything that happens in our life with Jesus? As we sit with him, as Yeshua is our benefactor, he is everything to us, he is our shepherd, and as he is, he looks after us. And having looked after us, he protects us in the camps of our enemies. Because we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are protected. Why? Because death cannot get to us. We are given eternal life. And that eternal life is making us strong in the Lord. We're in the circle of his righteousness. And that righteousness is keeping us strong in the Lord. Don't despair, my brother, my sister. Keep the faith. Because God has done all that he needs to do to keep you at his side. All we have to do is learn to rest. Like those sheep in the circle of righteousness, just learn to rest. And this is a verbal picture of the Lord having had his staff, put the enemies under our feet, and he keeps them there. But we have to be disciplined, and we have to behave, even as the sheep did. But they're totally frustrated, our enemies, because they can't get at us. He then anoints his head with oil and tops up his cup with wine to celebrate. Isn't this something? He celebrates, having set a lunch in front of our enemies, having destroyed the enemy camp, he then sets a lunch before them so that we can eat in there. He tops our wine up with oil and we celebrate the victory. Why? Because we are in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death and we're here celebrating victory. That doesn't make sense to anybody other than those who were in Yeshua HaMashiach the Messiah. Because he is our victory, who has overcome every wall. He is our victory. He is our conqueror. He has done so much for us, more than we would ever ask or think. And we have victory over our enemies. The psalmist then makes the declaration, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What's that all about? It's talking about grace. That God-given, having defeated all our enemies in Exodus 24:8-12, that the elders sat, it says that the elders sat with the Lord and ate and drank. It's in the Last Supper that Jesus announces, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So we see there in Exodus 24:8-12 that the elders sat with the Lord. And in the new covenant, Paul says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Or Jesus announced, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Instead of us shedding blood in the battle with our enemies, he, the Prince of Peace, has already done it. He has won for us the victory. Now we have peace with God. So we can be glad in the Lord. He has made us all things. He has prepared us. as a shepherd would. He has gone out before us. He has made us righteousness, redemption. He has given us all things that we would ever want. Be encouraged, my brother, my sister. Listen to what the Bible teaches you about your Saviour. The 23rd Psalm. How much greatness is there in this psalm? How much of a picture does it teach us, does it show us about how we live our lives in this place, the valley of the shadow of death? And how much should we say, and how much should we understand that we need not get fretful about the fact that we're living in the valley of the shadow of death? Because He has done all things for us that we need. He has prepared a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And in the midst of our enemies, we can eat and drink at His table, not fearing them, being able to do anything, but look upon us frustrated that they can't win the battle. Do you know what that is to an enemy? When he looks at those who have got the victory, and he gnashes his teeth because there's no way he can get recrimination on them. This is our position, beloved. This is the position God has given us in His kingdom. Cherish this kingdom with all you can, and look again with new eyes at what your King, your Redeemer, has done for you on the cross. He has given you all the reason for you to be glad. He has given you all the reason to sit at that table and sup, rejoicing, because He has given you all the reason to celebrate, because He has given you the victory. And it's important that you receive this victory with the right spirit. Oh, it's easy to whinge and to moan at your circumstances. We can all do that. And some of us have some terrible tales to tell of what we've been through. But as we look at this psalm, and as we understand what He has done for us in its fullness, we then begin to say, as those 24 elders did in the book of Revelations, we cast our crowns off before Him and we bow our heads, because He is the Lord, and more especially, He is our shepherd. So you'll never look at this psalm again in the same way, that's for sure. And on the back of that note, I would encourage you to read it again, and be encouraged when you read it that God has done a wonderful work in your life and in my life. And in doing it, He has set for all time, for eternity, a precedent that will go on, because He has put you in the circle of His righteousness, and nothing can by any means will hurt you, because the Lord is your shepherd. Amen.